If you were cheated on in a past relationship, especially if there was trickle truth, repeated lying, or just long periods of feeling like there was always more that you didn't know, that experience can often follow you into new relationships as well, even when your new partner has done nothing wrong. And you might understand intellectually, this person is not your ex. You might know that they've never cheated on you or betrayed you, and you might even really feel like they are a trustworthy person. But your heart, your nervous system, some part of your body still is reacting as though there's something that's still hidden. And so small ambiguities can start to feel like intentional lies. So for example, maybe your partner says they were texting someone, but later you find out there was a phone call and then that was followed by a text. So they weren't necessarily trying to hide the phone call, they simply mentioned the more recent part of the interaction. But if your last relationship involved trickle truth, that missing detail might not feel small. It might feel like, oh, that is the beginning of something. I need to pull on this thread to see what else gets unraveled. And so you might ask, why didn't you mention the call? What else haven't they mentioned? Am I only getting a small part of the story again? Let me see your entire text thread. Let me see the entire call history. And suddenly, it's not just one detail, but you're responding to the possibility of an entire hidden reality. And a lot of people think that the main fear is, what if this person cheats on me too? That is a big part of it. But I think that more deeply, more existentially, the deeper fear is being made a fool of again. It's the fear of relaxing while something is happening behind your back. It's the fear of trusting someone only to later realize there were signs that you missed. It is the awful feeling of being the last person to know what was actually going on in your own relationship. So after trickle truth and betrayal trauma, the unknown itself can just start to feel dangerous. It's like being afraid that there's a monster in your closet. Once you've experienced that kind of betrayal, your mind wants to search every closet before it can feel safe. But the problem is that sometimes there's no monster and sometimes there's not even a closet. Sometimes there isn't anything concrete for you to search through. And so what does that mean if you're trying to search through a closet that doesn't actually exist? Well, it means you dig. You start asking a ton of questions. Then you ask more follow-up questions. You go back over different timelines. You compare wordings. You hold people to an absurd level of consistency in every single word they've ever said. You're searching for some moment where you will finally feel like you're certain that there is nothing being hidden. And the questioning and the answers that you get from it can create an initial sense of safety. Your fears around it can drop for a few minutes because you feel like you've gathered enough information, but that almost never lasts. Another ambiguity appears, and then the search starts all over again. All this is perfectly understandable if you've been lied to and betrayed in a severe way, like with infidelity. And it's not wrong to ask for clarification. The problem begins when honest answers and genuine transparency aren't enough for you. It becomes really unhealthy when every answer creates yet another question, when the new partner, who again, didn't cheat on you, is expected to prove a negative, or when they're required to drop everything immediately and talk with you until you calm down. You're allowed to ask questions to understand what happened, but you can't expect them to eliminate all uncertainty from your mind. No relationship can provide that. You can never feel perfectly certain about anything. You can know someone's patterns. You can observe whether their actions match their words. You can create agreements around communication, boundaries, transparency. But you will never have absolute proof that another person will never hurt you. And this can really affect the new partner because they can begin to just feel watched and investigated and examined or treated as guilty until proven innocent. And it gets exhausting to have to prove your innocence over and over and over again. And so one thing that's helpful to understand is that, yes, your fear does make sense, but that doesn't mean that your fear is accurate. So how can you tell the difference between your intuition and just your fear being activated? I think one clue is the intensity of the reaction. If it's coming from a place of betrayal trauma, it often is this sharp spike. It feels urgent, physical, overwhelming. You might feel heat and tension in your body, panic in your chest, pressure to resolve it immediately, and this almost unbearable need to know more. Intuition, on the other hand, is quieter, it's more consistent, it's more present over time rather than demanding immediate action. It's noticing things and picking up on things as it unfolds. And that distinction isn't foolproof. You know, fear can be quiet too. Intuition can sometimes feel very loud and alarming. So there's not a foolproof way to distinguish between the two of them. But in general, you want to be able to take a step back and ask, okay, just because I'm having an intense reaction, does this mean that there is an actual pattern of betrayal here? Are there actual patterns of deception? Or is this just an ordinary communication gap that your mind connected to the worst experience of your past? You definitely do not want to ignore your instincts. You don't want to suppress your intuition, but you need to just take time to analyze what your responses are actually coming from. Is it coming from their behavior or is it coming from your past? Now, one of the most helpful things that you can do in this type of relationship is to acknowledge what's actually happening, where instead of saying, I know that you're hiding something, try saying, there is a very good chance that this is just my fear. But I noticed a little bit of an inconsistency or what feels like an inconsistency to me in what you said and what happened, and I'm feeling insecure about it. That is a completely different posture. Admitting that there is some fear and insecurity allows you to still ask the question without it being an automatic accusation. You're still allowed to care about honesty, you're still allowed to care about details, but you're not declaring the other person guilty before the conversation's even started. It's leading with the idea of, this is what's going on inside of me, and I would like your help to understand what's going on. This makes it 10 times easier for your new partner to understand and respond with compassion instead of just feeling attacked. And let's play out another scenario. If you've been betrayed before, there might be moments that you overreact to a new partner, where you accuse them of doing something similar to you, even when you didn't have the evidence for it. And you might have been really intense with them. You might have thrown out a lot of accusations. And when that happens, I do think an apology matters. And the apology isn't for having that trauma that makes you more suspicious. It's not an apology for ever feeling afraid. It's just an apology for how you treated them. So the internal mindset is, I understand why I got triggered, but the way that I questioned them really wasn't fair. So how can a new partner help someone who's been betrayed before? I think the biggest piece of advice is that you need to understand that they're not reacting to you personally, at least not most of the time. It doesn't mean that you have to accept their accusation or every demand, but it also means that just saying, I'm not your ex, stop living in the past, that doesn't really help the situation either. They already know that you're not their ex. The issue is that something in their body, something in their mind still believes that they're in a similar kind of danger. And so what can be helpful is helping them identify what's actually happening beneath the suspicion. So you could ask questions like, I mean, are you afraid there's more that you don't know? Are you feeling out of control right now? Does this feel like you're about to be blindsided again? Asking these questions isn't you agreeing that there's something suspicious happening. The goal is to help them identify the real fear that's going on beneath where they're tempted to accuse you of something. Sometimes their initial concern, like about a phone call or a text, might actually be way deeper and be more about a fear of humiliation, a fear of powerlessness, or just the terror of waking up to realizing they've been living inside a false reality yet again. And the new partner can also help by deciding to communicate a bit more explicitly and transparently. That's a very loving thing that they can do. And the mindset here is, I know that ambiguity is harder for you. I know that open loops can be kind of terrifying. So I'll try to be clear about who I've spoken with, what's happened, things like that. You don't necessarily have to do that, but you have to kind of decide ahead of time what level of accommodation you're genuinely willing to offer. A relationship with someone who's carrying some wounds from a past betrayal might require more patience, more explicit communication, and more reassurance than another relationship might. That doesn't mean that the relationship is unhealthy. It might mean that just initially, especially, that trust might take a little bit longer to grow. So the question for the new partner is whether or not you're willing to help them grow that trust, or if their expectations and standards for you are just not what you are comfortable with. And it's something that you can test as well. You know, if your transparency and accommodations are genuinely making them more trusting and open and calming them down, then that's fantastic. That's great. If your attempts at accommodation simply always lead to another new higher requirement, then you might actually be unintentionally feeding the hypervigilance. In which case, that person genuinely might not just be ready for a relationship yet. It's very hard to say without knowing each individual scenario. Now, there are some mistakes that people make while trying to be too accommodating. One of them is always dropping everything every time that the betrayed from a previous relationship partner becomes activated. And it can feel so compassionate. You know, you might be thinking, well, they're panicking. I need to prove this to them right now. I need to answer every question. But like I was saying, that can unintentionally start to reinforce the hypervigilance over time. And you can reassure them in those moments. No, I want to talk about this. I'm willing to answer your questions, but I'm at work right now. I can't just cancel everything that's going on and spend the next 2 hours talking to you about this. In other words, it's okay and actually healthy to have boundaries around these conversations. Like, yeah, let's lay out everything so your mind can be at peace and understand what happened. But we're not going to let the desire to eliminate all question marks run the entire relationship. Because again, I'll pick up again where I started. There is no amount of detail that can permanently satisfy a person who believes that they have to know absolutely everything in order to be safe. And one other thought is that there is a difference between privacy and secrecy. Secrecy is concealing information that genuinely affects the relationship or violates an agreement. Privacy might just be having ordinary personal space. And a healthy relationship includes transparency, and that space of privacy tends to shrink over time, but it is normal to still have some privacy in the early stages of a relationship. So demanding immediately phone access, location tracking, and constant reporting, especially in a new relationship, kind of violates the normal need for people to have trust be built slowly, the normal need to have some personal privacy. But then the deepest layer of this, and it should be obvious from how I've been talking about it so far, does come from the betrayed partner genuinely healing from what's happened to them, which requires learning to trust yourself, trusting that you can notice patterns, understanding that you are able to ask direct questions and notice the answer that you get. Because that kind of self-trust is really the only thing that gets people through uncertainty. And there's always going to be uncertainty. And so yes, a new partner can help create that safety. They can be patient, they can communicate clearly, they can offer reasonable reassurance, but they can't make up for a person who no longer trusts themselves.